He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday morning live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour. Well, you know what? The futures just went positive, barely, but they were underwater this morning by quite a bit until the initial jobless claims came out. And that number came in better than expected. And as a result, Dow futures right now, well, 13 points to the upside. The NASDAQ futures, you're looking at about 7 points now to the upside. S&P futures, about a point, okay? That's still better than where it was a little while ago. The small cap futures, Russell 2000, up a couple of points here this morning on the Russell 2000. Again, he had initial jobless claims numbers come in much better. Not much, but quite a bit better than expected. In fact, it's the lowest number since the pandemic began. So I guess that's promising. Okay. Crude oil is up 17 cents here this morning. It's $42.36. That's where the crude oil markets are right now. Gold. Wow. I saw a prediction for $3,000 gold by Bank of America this morning. We'll take a look at that. The reasoning behind that bold call in a bit. Gold is up $1,740 per ounce, $2,066. Silver up another $1.26, $28.15 on silver. We've got the bond market quiet again today, very quiet, 0.53%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we have one big winner today in the market. Maybe we'll make that our featured stock of the day. It's one you've probably never heard of. We own it in our emerging growth portfolio. We've got a couple others that are doing okay, not bad, after their earnings reports last night. We had a pretty good day in the market yesterday once again. We finished at an all-time high yesterday. NASDAQ back at record levels. NASDAQ makes it 6 gains in a row. We also had a little bit of a rally in the cyclicals yesterday. We had the S&P up 0.6%. The Dow was up 1.4%. It was up 373 points. A lot of that was Disney, however. And the NASDAQ was up 0.5% yesterday. We have, like I say, the futures were down about 100 not too long ago until those initial jobless claims were released. And they came in a little bit better than expected as they continue to fight and bicker and quarrel and squabble over the next relief package, stimulus package. As of now, they're trillions of dollars apart. Trillions. That's a big gap that they're going to have to close at some point in time. We had the Challenger job cuts from July come out. 262,000. 262,000. That's up from 170,000 in June. But again, those initial jobless claims numbers came in at 1.1 million today when the expectations were for 1.3 million. And the world markets were pretty quiet overnight. India up 1%. That's pretty much the best performance in the globe. And in the meantime, Europe Frankfurt up a half a percent overnight. The White House and Democrats have not agreed to any top-line numbers. Okay, top-line is where we begin, and then we break it up from there, dole it out from there, according to White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, and remain trillions of dollars apart on COVID-19 stimulus negotiations. Now, we've already spent about $5 trillion, and that's been tacked on to our national debt. And, of course, that's showing up in quite a weakening of the U.S. dollar recently and, obviously, quite a strengthening in the precious metals markets. They're still fighting over the unemployment bonus. The Trump administration has offered $400 a week in enhanced federal unemployment benefits through December 14th. They were offering $200. But the Democrats are not backing down from their $600 per week in bonus money for the unemployed. Meadows and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin also put $200 billion in state and local aid on the table. The Democrats want $1 trillion in state and local aid. Now, the Republicans argue that a lot of these states were already in the hole before coronavirus came along because of mismanagement. And that's why they're only putting $200 billion on the table. In the meantime, the Democrats want $1 trillion, saying these states and local governments have been hurt badly by the coronavirus through no fault of their own. Republicans say they are prepared to walk away and rely on executive options by President Trump if an agreement isn't reached by the end of the week. Well, you know what? Isn't the end of the week tomorrow? I think so. We'll see what happens. It could be a very dramatic day back on the Hill today. The airline stocks took off yesterday. Why? Is everybody all of a sudden booking flights on airlines across the globe? No. Airline shares are on the rise, because there is bipartisan support now for an additional $25 billion in aid to one of the sectors hardest hit by the coronavirus. We don't want to lose our airlines, says President Trump. If we're looking at whether they're Republican or Democrat, I'd be certainly in favor of another package for the airlines. We can't lose our transportation system, President Trump said at a White House press briefing. More than a dozen Republican senators earlier Wednesday said they backed the extension of the aid. Well, they're going to get something then. You've got American up today, Delta, UAL, Allegiant, Hawaiian, Southwest, Alaska, JetBlue, in the green this morning on almost a guarantee of some kind of aid, more aid coming their way. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube remove Trump post over coronavirus misinformation, according to them. President Trump said in an interview that children handle COVID-19 very well. He said, if you look at the terms of the numbers, in terms of mortality, fatalities for children under a certain age, their immune systems are very, very strong and very powerful. They seem to be able to handle it very well. But he said they were mostly immune from the virus, but Facebook, Twitter, YouTube all took that down, saying it was coronavirus misinformation. This despite Tesla CEO Elon Musk just a few weeks ago, actually back in March, saying that kids are essentially immune from the coronavirus. They left his tweet up and they took Trump's down. So you decide where the truth lies. Bank of America sees $35 silver feasible by next year and reiterates their $3,000 gold view. Gold and silver continue their bullish rampage, enjoying support from safe haven demand amid the rise in COVID-19 infections, geopolitical developments, and concerns about price inflation in the coming months. Well, one of the big factors behind price inflation is a weakening U.S. dollar, and we're starting to see that. I look at that chart every day, UUP. Bank of America says it's feasible that silver could hit $35 an ounce next year. Well, it's 27 almost now, setting records. Not the record that it set during the Hunt years when they tried to corner the silver market. It went up to over $50 per ounce back then. But Bank of America also says gold may reach $3,000 within 18 months. You know, I've also noticed a pretty good rally in Bitcoin recently. I tracked that one too. GBTC and the gold stocks breaking out right now. This is Bill Gunderson. We got some deals taking place when we come back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, there may be a deal in the gene therapy space. You know, that's a hot area of the market. The leader in that, obviously, has been CRISPR, which is CRSP. But there's a couple here this morning that are also in that space. In fact, two of the bigger ones, Editas Medicine. The symbol is edit. You want your genes edited? I'll just ship them off to Editas. They'll put them in a test tube. They'll change them. Maybe you'll come back with blue eyes. I don't know, but they hopefully can edit out bad things that happen to our bodies. The other one is Beam. Beam Therapeutics. That's been a pretty good performer too. There is a rumor out that they're going to merge with one another. Beam is up 20, Editas is up 21%, Beam is up 35%. Another big player is also up, NTLA, which is Intellia Therapeutics. Now, there was a special on 60 Minutes, maybe a year ago, where they had the CEO of CRISPR, or the lead scientist on from CRISP, talking about the whole gene editing process. Right now, the biggest hurdle to overcome is the price of it all. Very expensive process to do right now, but obviously that will those prices will come down as the technology advances, hopefully, and hopefully it will be a pathway to a lot of good therapies in the future for a lot of bad things that can happen to us. Goldman sounds off on technology again. You know, I've heard this story before. I'm not buying it. They think with a vaccine approval, you're going to see a massive rotation, well, a big rotation, out of the technology stocks and into the cyclicals. Whirlpool, you know, Ford, you know, things like this. Boeing, the industrials, Ingersoll Rand, etc. I'm not buying it until I see it. They say the rising chances of an approved coronavirus vaccine by the end of November. Okay, that's the talk now. We had Pfizer last week say maybe late October would be the earliest. That's if everything went exactly perfect. Now we're hearing maybe by the end of November. And they say Goldman does that. That would help push a lot of money out of technology and rotate into the cyclicals. You go ahead. You go buy those cyclicals. In the meantime, you know, they failed to mention the impact that tax changes would have. If we get a change at the top, there will be higher taxes for corporations, and that will take earnings out of the S&P 500. That has to definitely be factored in as a distinct possibility at this point in time. Okay, we've got a competitor to Shopify, another one, all right? This looks like they could be a formidable competitor. They went public yesterday. The stock tripled. The stock tripled on their IPO. dot-com mania, dot-com bubble, similar to 2000. There's definitely some similarities here and there. But overall, as I've said, the NASDAQ of today is not the NASDAQ of the year 2000. But the name of the company that went public yesterday is Big Commerce. Big Commerce. The symbol is BIGC. They priced the IPO at 24. Where did it close the day yesterday? At 72. A triple. All right. It's already a four, opened up as a $1.6 billion company. And now it's a $4.8 billion company. They only have about $120 million in revenues. So you can do the math. It's trading at 40 times sales. A lot of hope here built into this one already. But we'll keep our eye on it, BIGC, because it is the second company to go public that does what Shopify does. Shopify created an online mall. That is the future. You know, in my day, you'd ride the escalator up to see Santa Claus and go to the food court and walk around the various shops, have a pretzel, have a Dairy Queen, you know, all kinds of different fare being offered at the mall. Well, you know what? That's an old model now. Malls are being redone, but the biggest move has been to the online mall. Not as much overhead. You want to open a little boutique? Open your boutique on Shopify. You have very little overhead. Work from home. Your garage can be your warehouse, whatever. There's a lot of competition out there. But Shopify has been a huge winner, one of the biggest winners we ever found here. Definitely on the, I got to create a Hall of Fame here on my wall, trophy winners. Shopify definitely is one. We'll keep our eye on this big C, the symbol B-I-G-C, B-I-G-C. They do something very similar to what Shopify does. Well, one of the bricks and mortar companies that continues to dazzle is Costco. People love their Costco. You know, there's something about the experience. I can't get a free sample of Italian sausage online while I'm shopping. Nor can I see the live sea, the seafood, you know, that's there in the big ice bin there. And I can't smell the bakery and things like this. Costco dazzles again with monthly sales, shares up 1.2%. Costco stock has been breaking out once again. One of the great business models of all time, a survivor in the bricks and mortar space, a very expensive stock. Why? People love it. MNOV, positive data on a drug that would treat alcohol use disorder. Alcohol use disorder. I've never heard of that one. AUD. That's a phase 2 clinical trial for MN166. MNOV, I've watched here recently. It's been a pretty good little biotech stock. They have other candidates in their pipeline. It's a microcap, but they've got a promising possible drug out there for alcohol use disorder. Norwegian Cruise Lines. Earnings missed by 50 cents. They don't even have any revenue, do they, right now? Aren't all their ships in port? Maybe this is just on people booking vacations out in the future. Last I heard, now it's off until no cruises until at least November. November would be the earliest that cruises would be offered. Norwegian is looking to lose $7 per share this year, $2.10 per share next year. Yet it remains a favorite of the Robinhood crowd, trading this stock, which currently is at $13.72. Before the pandemic, it was at $60 per share. all the way down to 13.72. When we come back, a lot of stocks to talk about, a lot of earnings to talk about. And welcome back to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, we are still in the midst of earnings season, although at the tail end of earnings season. I would imagine by the end of the day tomorrow, we'll have about 80-85% of the companies in the S&P 500 that have reported earnings so far. And I'm sure you've noticed the huge run in the market that we've had during this earnings season. And there definitely is a correlation there. I'm a guy who every Friday looks at and updates the earnings for the S&P 500. And of course, all the companies that feed into that. And the trends in the earnings. This obviously is going to be one of the worst quarters. You have to go back to 2008, I want to say, maybe 2009. We had a quarter that was down 69% year over year. That was during the financial crisis. Right now, we're looking at a quarter to be down about half of that, about 35% less in the way of earnings this quarter versus the same quarter last year. But those numbers have improved considerably since we started and since companies started reporting. In fact, 83% of the companies now that have reported earnings have beat their earnings estimates. This is a record number. Even larger than that is the amount by which these companies have been beating their earnings by. 21.4% is the average earnings beat. That also is a record number. So I guess you could say things looking a lot better than the gloomy, dire forecast that we had descended into for this quarter. One by one, corporate America, 83 out of 100 companies reporting have beat by an average of 21% their earnings estimates. That is a large number. And you're seeing it show up in the market itself. As earnings go, so goes the market. If you learn nothing else from this show, there's so many people that just can't make sense. They don't even know where to begin of making sense of a stock or of an index or the markets themselves. To me, the number one rule is stocks and indexes follow earnings. And as long as earnings are going up, the stocks and indexes follow. When they starting to flatten out, the stocks and indexes follow. And when earnings or earnings expectations begin to decline, stocks and indexes follow. That's why you saw that decline back in late February, in the first few weeks of March. You saw a 30% drop in the market as earnings expectations dropped by about the same amount. And then there was several weeks there where we had no clue where earnings would come in during this quarter that's being reported. We were in no man's land. Companies were withdrawing their guidance. Companies were not even able to take a guess at when things would be back to normal. And they're still not back to normal. There's still a lot of question marks going forward. But I think the analysts have done a pretty good job of guiding and coming up with their best guesses throughout all of this. And as you can see, they guided too low. They moved their numbers too low, which I said they had done. And that allowed for these companies to come in and beat earnings. And that is one of the main reasons why you've seen this run in the market, is because underlying all of this in the market is not talked about much, is how well the earnings season has gone. I see that. That's a major current underneath the market. And of course, the Fed, the friendly Fed, our friends at the Fed, they have helped to drive this big run in the market recently. Who would have ever guessed back on March 19th when the market was hitting terrible lows, people's mood, sentiment was hitting terrible lows, and here we are today with the NASDAQ. Could hit 11,000 today. It came very close yesterday. Who would have ever guessed it? Well, the NASDAQ's down 16 right now. So we're 18 points away from 11,000. Well, I guessed it. You can look at my articles that I was writing back in March of this year. I said, get ready for a V-shaped recovery. And that has happened, and then some. Well, the earnings season continues. Papa John's beats by 5 cents. That's not a stock I'm interested in. That's a highly competitive industry. They are benefiting, obviously, from the carry-out and the delivery as opposed to the dine-in experience. Papa John's beats by 5 cents. I'm not going to get too excited one way or another there, but the stock has been hitting new all-time highs recently. Give them credit. They own 5,395 pizza restaurants in 49 countries and territories worldwide. Hilton beats by 31 cents, but they miss on revenues. And, of course, you're talking about the eye of the storm here, the travel and leisure industry. Hilton Hotels with 6,103 hotels, resorts, timeshare properties. Their sales were down 77% versus the same quarter last year. Only one-fourth of the business this quarter that they had during the same quarter last year. That's the impact that COVID has had on the leisure and travel industry. I have no exposure to this industry. It's a wild card as to when it will rebound and come back. Not even the industry knows. Nobody really knows. And I think it's changing the dynamics going forward of how people are going to vacation. What else do we have? Plug Power. Oh, I watch these hydrogen fuel cell stocks. They've been around for a long time. Plug Power, they beat that stock breaking out today, up 17%. We finally are making some headway there with the hydrogen fuel cells. Obviously, Nikola is going to offer hydrogen fuel cells in their Badger trucks, which someday will be an actual product. Right now it's on the drawing board. And the other big player in this industry is Ballard, BLDP. Sounds pretty attractive to run your car on water. Ballard, they beat earnings a little bit too. Plug is the big winner here today. Yeti, huge winner today. Boy, that's a big product around here with fishermen and outdoorsmen, and I see all these fishing guides going up and down the river. They've all got their Yeti equipment, you know, to keep the fish and the ice. And I guess the beverage is cool. Yeti breaking out today, up 4.2%. That's a new all-time high for Yeti. Symbol Y-E-T-I. Very strong direct-to-consumer sales. That means online. I know there's a Yeti store in downtown Charleston, but it seems like most people prefer to buy online. Wix. Wix is another competitor, a wannabe competitor to Shopify. Wix develops web platforms, but they also are getting into this online mall space. Wix is down 7.8% after their earnings fall short. Stock is at $285, however. Etsy, another one of the work-from-home plays, as people can open a store there on Etsy, sell their services or their products. Etsy has been on a tear. It's now a $16 billion company. Pretty expensive stock, 111 P.E. ratio. The stock is down 4.9% right now. I do have a position in Etsy in my emerging growth portfolio. The analysts like Etsy, despite high-flying expectations. Roth Capital puts out a $150 target price on Etsy. It's currently trading at $129. Okay, when we come back, I've got a stock of the day. Maybe even two. Huh? We'll see. Better be good. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, in the final segment of the show, I like to find a stock of the day. I've got pretty much a standout here. It's not too hard to choose one. But I also always mention, you know, when one falls short, we own ResMed, which is a leading sleep apnea company. Market cap $29 billion. It's had pretty good growth over the years. Pays a dividend yield, a little bit of a dividend yield. Headquartered in San Diego, California, where I was headquartered for a long, long time. Decades. ResMed is down 9% today as, gosh, earnings were up 40%. Sales were up 9%. It all looks good to me. They must have guided lower or something. I'll have to dig into the earnings report. But winners and losers today. Their big winner, on the other hand, one of the biggest winners in the market today. How about that? A company by the name of Digital Turbine. The symbol is APPS. That's a good symbol in today's world, APPS. What do they do? Mobile software. You know, I was writing an article yesterday about another major player in the mobile space. And I made the point once again that a lot of these technology stocks have become defensive stocks. You know, we used to think of defensive stocks as Procter & Gamble. You still need your shampoo and your deodorant and your toothpaste during a recession, okay? Well, I mean, in today's world, who can do without their mobile phone? Recession or no recession, okay? We need our mobile phones. Who can go without the internet? Who can go without their cable? Things like this. Who can go without their laptops and other technology devices? To me, in a lot of ways, a lot of these technology stocks, that would include Apple, Microsoft, Amazon. Look how defensive Amazon is. Look at the quarter they had during this pandemic. Digital Turbines is in that mobile space. They develop mobile software that enables mobile content distribution and transactions. There's a lot taking place on mobile phones these days. Probably the as you go down the line in age. Now, the mobile phone's a little too small for me to be ordering on Amazon and whatnot. I want to see a picture of what I'm buying and things like this. That little mobile phone. Trying to order dinner on that little mobile phone sitting in the parking lot. One day I was in the parking lot of one of the best barbecue joints in America. We are blessed to have Lewis Barbecue, who was the partner of Franklin, the famous Franklin Barbecue out in Austin, Texas, known for their brisket. You want to get good brisket? Well, if you don't like brisket, I'm sure you can get a smoked Brussels sprout or something. But anyways, we were blessed to have them, and we were there one Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon. You had to order from the parking lot. You couldn't walk in the joint. I had to do it on my cell phone. I'm struggling. I left my reading glasses at home, naturally. But we made it. But anyways, mobile. You could smell that brisket smell coming right through that cell phone. Not exactly, but in the parking lot you could certainly. Digital Turbines, simple as APPS, headquartered in, guess where it's headquartered? Now, this is just a coincidence, Austin, Texas. Home of Franklin Barbecue. And, of course, Austin, Texas is becoming a major technology hub. The biggest reason why? Zero state tax. California is a 14% state tax. Boy, you move just a few states over and look at how much money you save. That's why so many companies are leaving New York and other eastern seaboard states. Anyways, Digital Turbine is a small cap. It's $1.8 billion in market capitalization. It's up 22% today. I'll take that. It's one of the stocks in our emerging growth portfolio. That's my AA baseball team. Man, we've had some huge winners come out of that. Livongo, Digital Turbine. Oh, there's several that have come out of that portfolio. That's my fun one. I have a lot of fun with that AA portfolio. Anyways, they beat their earnings quite handily. They had a breakout quarter. Advertisers, they say, are actively allocating spend toward platforms that offer directly measurable results. Well, that's another thing about today's advertising business. You can really target. You can really target. With all of the knowledge and information and privacy that we've taken away from people, you can really target those digital ads. And mobile is an important platform, very important mobile platform. Apps will be our featured stock of the day, Digital Turbines. All right. Well, you know what? I'm already putting on my newsletter face. I think tomorrow we'll have a very, very, very important update on earnings season and a very important update on earnings estimates for next year and the following year. Now, that does not take into account a change at the top, if we have one, because that would create a new environment for corporate taxes. So we have to keep that. Maybe I should list two target prices. One with the current corporate tax rate, one without. But as for now, we'll go with what we know now. We'll update that target price as long as earnings continue to rise this year, next year. Well, they're not going to rise this year. They're going to be less this year. That's why we had that short bear market earlier this year. You can sample the newsletter, see how we're doing it. At GundersonCapital.com. Schedule an appointment with our team. A member of our team. We have been busy here this year. I think we've had a record year for new accounts, appointments. We must be doing something right. Give us a call. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. If you can find a friendlier crew anywhere, tell me about it and I'll switch my business over. We have a great crew, back office, take good care of you. And you've got me and my team here doing the best we can to keep you in the best stocks now. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.